One.
That's enough. Let's go.
Two. Where's the money?
Let's go.
Let's go.
I said, let's go.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lanch J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios.
To the Lanch J Radio Network, featuring sports talk and entertainment excellence, a part of HR Voices Sirius XM Channel 141 family. I am your host, the illustrious James Lewis. It is always a pleasure to be with you, broadcasting coast to coast, globally, and of course on Lanch J Plus, where we podcast every single segment of the show. When did Caleb Williams become a bust? I actually thought that Trevor Lawrence was the generational quarterback that was a bust. That's all I've heard throughout the last couple of weeks on Sports Talk Radio, that Caleb Williams, and look, there's some red flags about Caleb Williams, especially the way that he carries himself. The painting of the fingernails, and I don't mean the fact that he paints his fingernails. I don't really care about that. That's not Lanch J's steez. But painting F Utah on his fingernails when he was at USC and then proceeding to get blown out by four touchdowns by Utah, that wasn't a good look. Him crying in his mother's bosom after an L, that wasn't a good look either. And I think with a quarterback has to be the CEO. Quarterback has to be emotionally stable. We've seen with Jay Cutler, who also played for the Bears, and we see it with Aaron Rodgers at times when the quarterback is mercurial and temperamental. Your team is going to be mercurial and up and down and temperamental. So I understand some of the concerns about Caleb Williams. If you look at his stats last year as a rookie playing for a defensive coach, Matt Eberflus, 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 6 picks. How that constitutes as a generational bust. Yeah, I know the Bears lost their last 11 games. So the Bears were a train wreck. And they fired their coach midseason. And now you have Ben Johnson from the Detroit Lions. So you have somebody coming from in division, an offensive guru, a quarterback whisperer. And I don't watch a lot of preseason NFL games, but I did watch the first couple of drives with the Bears playing against the Buffalo Bills. Buffalo had their starters resting. First drive, Caleb Williams takes his team 90 yards down the field, scores a touchdown. I think that he's going to be all right. But this concept, and I bang on these different national talk show hosts who don't really speak their own opinions. They're forced into a narrative at the tip of the spear, at the pyramid, at the apex, at the zenith. And one thing about me is the Lanch J Radio Network, we own this. We own this mother bleeper. We're independent. I'm not taking my orders from a third party on how to cover the NFL or the NBA or covering LeBron James specifically. Covering the New York Yankees or the Dallas Cowboys. I don't have to get into that. I'm not owned by corporate suits in downtown New York City. And I'm gonna keep it a buck. There is, if you watch and listen, there's a huge issue that's going on right now in the NFL that nobody wants to talk about. And that's the fact that half of the quarterbacks, if you go and look at the depth charts on all 32 NFL teams, half of the starting quarterbacks for week one, people that are expected to start. I know Russell Wilson could lose. He might not start. Jackson Dart's look pretty good in camp. You don't know what's going to happen with Anthony Richardson. But you got about 16, 17 quarterbacks. You throw Tua in there. who are black. Half of the quarterbacks starting in the league are non-Caucasian individuals. And if you don't think that that's an issue, if you don't think that there are people on websites and people writing into owners and for season tickets and for marketing and all of those things that come with being a starting quarterback, the face of your franchise, if you don't think that there are people in the country that have a problem with that and that there are fan bases that don't want to have a black quarterback starting for them, you're naive. You're flat out naive. So in my opinion, I think the four letter, I think some of these groups, they're elevating some of these young Caucasian quarterbacks, which I don't have a problem with because I think that Jackson Dart's pretty good. I didn't think he's going to be that good coming out of Mississippi, but he's looked good in camp. I think J.J. McCarthy, he played for Harbaugh. He's going to be fine. I'm a huge fan of Brock Purdy, who's still young. So I don't have a problem elevating anybody, but to elevate someone, often you have to tear down someone. And I feel that Caleb Williams is the guy that they're tearing down. He was supposed to be the generational talent. He was supposed to be a him. He was supposed to be special. He was supposed to be the next line of successors to Patrick Mahomes. And before him, Peyton Manning. And before him, Dan Marino. And for someone to rise, unfortunately, in sports, sports is a zero-sum game. So you see people banging on Caleb Williams and saying that he's a bust, saying that he has a bad attitude, he had a bad practice yesterday, he threw a couple of picks yesterday. All of the nonsense when the statistics and the tape don't show that. And I'm just telling people to listen to the show. Watch out how you see people break down film on black quarterbacks. It's still an issue today. Because with Caleb Williams, I don't mind someone ripping Caleb Williams for his body language. I don't mind someone ripping Caleb Williams for the way that he carries himself on the bench. I don't mind someone ripping Caleb Williams even for the way he's young and he's learning how he carries himself off the field with the press. But when you hear some of the pundits, Caleb Williams, he can't process the defense. The new playbook is too thick for him. Well, he didn't run this offense at USC. It's always something to say that a black quarterback is stupid, not intelligent, slow. The cerebral cortex of a black quarterback does not process information with the mental dexterity as their Caucasian counterparts. And we're still in this same train of thought. Going back to the Jimmy DeGreek days when I was young, I remember Jimmy DeGreek saying these things openly on NFL Today, that black people were not smart enough to play quarterback in this league. And it's an issue because so many African-American quarterbacks have been successful. Now you have Jalen Hurts. Even Jalen Hurts, look at the Swift Belt campaign against him. Nobody's saying that Jalen Hurts is Peyton Manning. Nobody's saying that he's Tom Brady. But Jalen Hurts is a top 5-6 quarterback in the NFL. Jalen Hurts outplayed Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl twice. Watch what you see pundits say, because it's a much bigger issue than people really want to believe. And if you look at quarterbacks that are coming into the league, why do you think that is such a huge thing for Paul Feinbaum, for the pundits, to crown Arch Manning as the next, giving him his golden scepter before he's even really started? He hasn't even started a game yet. Now, I think that Arch Manning is going to be fantastic, but he has not started. But they're already crowning him. They're already putting him as the number one quarterback in this class or the next class, basically saying that he's going to come to the NFL. He's going to be Peyton, Archie, and Eli rolled into one. There is a skin color element here, and I'm not a race card guy. I'm not a person that plays the race card. I'm a meritocracy guy, but in this case, we've moved a lot in my lifetime, the last 35, 40 years. But in our hearts, have we really moved that much in my lifetime? Paragon 7 Studios.
Live from the Paragon 7 Studios, you are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Paragon 7 Studios. We'll be right back.
know, when he opens up the refrigerator and there's a head in the refrigerator where the lettuce should be, that's not something that I really like to see. I'm not really into that. I'm more into the chase with the police and all of that. I'm not into watching people get hacksawed and dismembered and stuff like that. Like, I'm not interested in watching people get strangled and their body and the guts flushed down the toilet. I don't want to watch that. I covered my eyes. I'm sure my wife was like, man, I married a chump. What's going to happen if the bad guys come into the house for us? Are you going to cover your eyes? I'm like, no, baby, because I got guns.
Rampage, the first lieutenant of the Universal Flipmo Squad.
You coming to my house, they're going to be doing a docuseries about what I did to you. It ain't going to be no docuseries about, oh, well, he broke into the house and did these things to Lance J's family. Netflix is going to be doing a movie about what I do to you with the Draco. You can take that to the bank.
You are listening to the Lance J Radio Network.
Medicare can be complicated, and you may have questions. Whether you're enrolling for the first time, reviewing plan options, or troubleshooting an issue, SHIP can help. SHIP is your local state health insurance assistance program. We provide free, unbiased support to Medicare-eligible individuals, their families, and caregivers. We can help you make informed decisions about your care and benefits. Find your local SHIP office at aging.maryland.gov/SHIP or call 410-767-1100.
You're telling me when I switch to T-Mobile, you'll give me an iPhone 16 Pro and I can keep my old phone?
That's right. No trade-in.
There's always a trade-in.
Not at T-Mobile. For the first time ever, there's no trade-in needed.
No!
Yes! Also, at T-Mobile, you save at least 20% versus the other big guys.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma. Box of raisins. I'm a mom. A balloon. Banana peel.
For the first time ever, when you switch to T-Mobile, get a new iPhone 16 Pro on us. And keep your old phone, because there's no trade-in needed.
Take whatever you want.